Paranormal Karen, she's so spooky. Paranormal Karen, funny too. Paranormal Karen, she's so spooky. Oh, and did I mention she's funny too? Yeah, cha-cha-cha.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Paranormal Karen. It's May, and y'all know I pre-tape, but hopefully you're coming to see me in Waco, Texas in June. It looks like I'm going to be in Phoenix in July because it's not going to be hot enough in L.A. I'm going to have to go to Phoenix. I think today – oh, by the way, folks, my tarot class is out, all that stuff. I'm going to put up an ad for that later. I think I have the perfect guest for everyone today because sometimes my shows might run a little scary for people and then sometimes might be a little spiritual for other people. Today, the guest you're all going to love, her name is Pamela Cummings. She does dream analysis interpretation. And Pamela, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Karen, so much for having me here, and I'm really looking forward to the show today.
Great. You know, so dreams, amongst all my woo-woo and spiritual friends, dreams is one of the biggest things that come up. Talking about them now, they're stronger now with what's going on in the universe. What is your story about how you got into this?
Okay, well, I've always been a dreamer, but like many people, I thought they were hysterical, funny, weird, it made no sense, and were nonsense. And it wasn't until I went into my personal and spiritual growth, oh, way back in 1989 when I started this journey, and I started to see in the early 90s how my dreams were actually giving me messages to heal my childhood stuff and my wounds. Mm-hmm. And I went with a therapist who specialized in dream interpretation, and she gave me my foundation of learning dream interpretation. And each week I'd come in there and we'd go over my dreams. And that lasted for about 2 years until I started having spiritual and precognate dreams. And precognate dreams are dreams of the future. And she totally freaked out. And then it was time for me to go on my own. And I've been doing it ever since. Of course, I started with friends and family, and I continued to do my own dreams, and eventually it just became in my practice. And recently, it used to be kind of on the front burner, but recently, the last 3 or 4 years, I've really took it from the back burner and put it on the front burner.
Right.
So I just love, they're so fascinating. Yeah. It's like doing a big jigsaw puzzle, and I love puzzles, and that's really what it is like to me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think they always are interesting. And you know what else is always interesting when someone will, and I don't do dream interpretation. Sometimes something seems obvious to me, but someone will tell me something about a dream and I'll put it together. And it was so obvious to me and they didn't get it because it was, is it that they're too much in the dream or it's too much in the moment or it just doesn't, they can't see outside of it because it's so intense?
Well, just like anything else, it's easier for us to, you know, see some. There's a saying, if you spot it, you got it. Okay. My guides just said, if you spot it, you got it. So it's easier to see something for someone else than it is ourselves. And with dreams, a lot of times it's trying to get the person out of the denial and to look at something and they don't want to, or sometimes they just don't understand. I mean, learning the secret language of dreams takes a lifetime. There's still dreams. I'm like, what does that mean? And then I have to really sit down and take it apart. So it really, I think it's just easier to see something in someone else than ourselves, if that makes sense.
Yes. And you know, that's funny. Your book is The Secret Language of Dreams. And I have your
learn. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Learn the Secret Language of Dreams, because there is another book that's The Secret Language of Dreams by
okay.
David. So I just want to clarify that.
Right.
So I don't want to step on his toes. So.
Right. And I have your book and I didn't know it until this morning.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know. And I love that your guides say, spot it and you got it. Now,
if you spot it, you got it.
If you spot it, you got it. What about like people that don't remember a lot of their dreams? I don't remember a lot of my dreams.
And that is not unusual because dreams can be very fleeting. What I say to them, it's like anything else. You have to practice it. First of all, it really starts before you go to bed. You have to have the intention of remembering your dreams. One of the things I say, it's like, if you're going to start working out, you have the intention. You might go out and buy the clothing, you know, like yoga clothing or gym clothing, but then you have to do it. So the night before, you can write yourself a letter, you know, pen and paper, or put it on, type it into your smartphone or laptop, or just before you go to sleep, just say over and over again, I will remember my dreams. I will remember my dreams. I will remember my dreams. And then keep doing that, because sometimes people, you know, it's like starting to work out. You work out for a day, maybe a week, and then you're like, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore. It needs to be done until you do start remembering your dreams. And then I really suggest to people to record them. Even if it's recording whatever method, your feelings and the action.
And do that right first thing in the morning.
If you can. You know, I realize that that can be difficult. But even if you just kind of say it in your mind over and over to help remember it, because you know that when you wake up, and I still have this, I'll be like, I was dreaming of, oh, what was that? I lost it.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are some dreams that are so, sorry, I get excited when I talk about dreams.
No, that's why we love you.
But there are some dreams that are so powerful that you just can't forget. You know, I mean, there are dreams. I remember a dream when I was 6 years old. I remember a dream when I was, you know, 24 years ago. There's just such a, and I really think that that's our angels and spirit guides saying, you need this information. Remember it. We're putting it in your conscious mind.
Wow. You know, when I teach my tarot class, one of the things that I tell people to do is to do, and I heard this from someone else, this isn't just my idea, to do memory exercise on your app. So you have an app that's like a concentration game or a memory, because it teaches you to grab the first image that comes in. I'd imagine that could help with dreams too.
Definitely. And see, one of the things I say, because I also do tarot. I love tarot. Yeah. And if you put a tarot card underneath your pillow or by your deck, you're going to have some wild dreams.
Oh, I gotta try that.
I actually had dreams about a tarot card last night. You reminded me, where it was a solid tarot card, not an app. And it started moving. Oh. You know, like it had movement. It was so cool. I'm like, oh man, I want a tarot deck like that. But tarot, when you look at a tarot deck, you can, one image could mean one thing. And then maybe 5 years later, you look at the same card and the same image means a totally different thing.
Right.
That's the way it is with symbols in dreams.
So the more your consciousness expands, the more you learn about life, where like a potato might be like nothing to me because I don't like potatoes. And then I marry a potato farmer and it's a different thing.
In a sense, yeah. Yeah. I mean, for some people, potatoes, people immediately, if they look at a potato, they're going to think, French fries, chips. For another person, it might be like, oh, potatoes are very grounding. And yet for another person, that's how they, like the potato farmer, that's how they make their living.
So when you have someone interpret a word that I seem to be saying, I want to say interpret, but it's interpret. Right? But I guess it doesn't matter.
interpret. I don't know. I guess maybe you say potatoes and I say, right. Or you say tomatoes and I say tomatoes or whatever.
Exactly. when they do this for their dreams, it's really a partial guidance and then partial just what it means to them. How would you advise people on that?
Oh, okay. Well, basically a dream is really all about you and it can be guidance, but there's so many different dream categories. I'm trying to see the best way to explain this. I think it for,
cause someone, someone might give you a dream dictionary and it says, this means this. And you say, that doesn't appeal to me.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Dream dictionary. You know, and they have their place. Okay. One of the ways I explain dream dictionaries, and I will get back to what you asked me before, is dream dictionaries are kind of like learning your ABCs. Okay. Mm-hmm. In order to write poetry or write a book, you have to know your ABCs. But it takes time to learn to formulate words into sentences. What should I use? A question mark? Should I use a period, exclamation mark? Okay, let's make this into a paragraph. Is it a past tense? So it gets complicated. And the same thing is with a dream dictionary. And one of the symbols I always use, because I love cats, okay, mm-hmm. is like a cat. Okay, so a cat, if you look in a dream dictionary, can mean mysterious, independent, feminine, standoffish. Okay, mm-hmm. and when you think about it, it could be somebody who's catty or whatever. But for me, a cat can be about feel very loving, very kind. For somebody who's afraid of cats, okay, it can be very scary, especially the black cat. For somebody who hates cats, okay, that's going to be a nightmare, okay? For somebody who just passed away, that's going to be very sad. For somebody who wants a cat, that's going to be exciting, okay? And that's not even putting up in really, like, going really into the feeling situations in your life, putting in other actions and dreams and other symbols.
Right.
Okay, so a dream symbol is good to go to when you're completely baffled. Like I one time had a white lizard, and I had never had a white lizard. And quite honestly, I don't remember what it is, okay? But there's some things off the top of your head that, like, the snake is kind of easy. Snake can be so many different things,
right.
Okay? But it's what you're feeling, what's going on in your life, things that happened to you in the past, and so many other things.
Right. So, you know, it's funny, back about tarot a second, I actually just started taking a Vedic astrology class, and they were just explaining the houses, and literally without even knowing it, they explained one of the houses, what it meant, and I wrote down High Priestess. Like now I do so much tarot, I think in tarot, like it comes up everywhere. When I do my readings, let's say I do 4 and 5 tarot readings sometimes in a day, and I sleep like the dead. Is it actually possible I could be dreaming about other people's stuff because that's so much interaction, or is that kind of not really?
I don't see why not. I don't see why not. Okay. I mean, that's kind of dreaming about like being someone else or picking up on someone else's stuff that's going on in their life, especially
right.
close family members.
Yeah.
Okay. So why not? You just don't remember it. I mean, sometimes I will actually get information for clients in my dream, or even like I find, especially like if I'm washing dishes or using the bathroom, I always get information. So why not in your dream?
Right. Oh, that's great. That's exactly because you get, that's wonderful. That's amazing. So you might have a dream and be like, oh, that's for so-and-so that I spoke with yesterday. I need to tell them that.
Right. And that's not all the time. Okay. But yes, I don't see why not. And you know, I didn't answer your other question that you asked before the dream dictionary, because I went off on a tangent. No, do you remember? I don't remember what the question was. Could you say the question again? Do you remember it?
It was, where was it? I think I just scribbled over it. Oh, spot it. You got it. That's where it started. We started with that. It was about, we'll come back to it. It'll come back to me.
This is
a very stream of consciousness. So it'll come back to us. And I wrote down two things that, and I know this is, again, it's not the dream dictionary, but what I always thought, I had a friend that was a therapist, and there were two things she taught me. And maybe they, again, this is up to interpretation, but she said, when you're driving in a dream, it has to do with driving and going to the bathroom, whether it's I can't find a bathroom, I need to find a bathroom, I can't stop going to the bathroom, and driving both have to do with control in your life. Like, do you have control? Are you driving the car? Is the car out of control? Is that too specific, or that sort of generally is a good frame of reference?
For the car, generally, yes, because if you're driving, you are more in control of your life than if someone's in the passenger seat. But sometimes you need to let control let go of control and somebody and allow somebody else to drive. It also depends upon the feeling. Okay. So let's say you're driving and you're angry. Okay. And you're driving and weaving and crazy. That might be telling you, you need to let go of that anger and let go of that control.
Right.
Okay. And it depends on how fast you're driving and where you're driving. And if you're, you know, you might, it might show that you're, let's say you're afraid and you're going through all this spooky or darkness. Okay. That could actually be symbolic of what's going on in your life right now, where you don't know where you're going and you're afraid and everything, you can't see clearly. So in general, yes. Okay. But no, now going to the bathroom, okay, could mean about control, okay? Mm-hmm. But it also can be an environment dream, which is letting you know what goes inside of your body and also what's going in your outer environment, okay? So you might just really have to urinate really bad.
And that's why you...
right, because I find that all the time. I can't find a... I can't find a stall, or they're all occupied, and I finally find one, but the door's off and people are standing in front of it. So obviously I'm not comfortable going there, but it could actually mean something else if you don't have to go.
Right. Right. And actually that's, in our next section, I want to get to, you had several categories of dreams, on your tape that were fantastic. I want to talk about those. But here's a weird thing that goes on in my dreams. I can't remember a dream where I felt like I was in a comfortable or a good place. And now we're going to have a siren as though that's a warning of my dream. There, this police went by. But I always, the dreams that I remember, they're either in cold places or places where I feel like I'm not supposed to be there.
Okay. So that kind of sounds like a recurring dream that you remember?
It's a recurring feeling.
Okay. A recurring feeling. Okay. And you're not supposed to be there and you're feeling
or it's
uncomfortable.
Never happy. It was interesting because I was watching some of your video and it was saying how it's about you. So I'm thinking, is that I'm just not that comfortable in my own skin, or I always feel out of place, but it always, and I do paranormal stuff. So, and scary stuff. So sometimes the dreams are, they just never are in warm places, or, I never feel, I don't know. I can't remember having a happy dream where I just wanted to stay there. And this is great. Been a long time since I had one of those.
Okay. Okay.
You can just tell me I need a therapist. That's fine.
No. Actually, what it sounds like is maybe you need some more warmth in your life, some more sunshine, some more joy. Because I don't, you know, Karen, your energy, you don't feel like you're unhappy, a cold person. Okay. You feel like you're pretty, I mean, nobody's happy all the time, but you feel pretty positive. Okay.
Yeah, I am.
All right. You feel pretty positive. So there, and so it might not be your life in general. It might be certain situations in your life that you don't feel comfortable in, that you feel cold. It could be a certain person. And so, you know, I would need a little bit more detail of the dream.
Got it.
So the next time you have that, try and see if you can remember what was occurring in the dream. Was there a person? Was there a situation? And being in the woo-woo world, I know we get a lot of cold energy, not feeling comfortable in certain places and around certain people.
Right. Right. I kind of think you nailed it, though, when you said I need more warmth in my life. And that is just,
okay.
I love my work and I'm a workaholic, but I'm out of balance. Those two are out of balance. So
okay.
You kind of nailed that in the first part. And then I have one more dream of mine, and then we're going to take a break and come back and talk about those categories. That was fascinating. I had this dream a long time ago when I first started really meditating and getting into my spiritual practice, and I was in my 20s, and I told this to a minister once, and he said terrible thing. He said it was terrible. That was, you have to go to church, you have whatever. He like took it the wrong way. And I was like,
that's magnificent.
right. It scared that guy away, so it was a good dream. But I had a dream, and I was a seashell. There was a seashell and it rang like a phone, and I answered it, and it was God. And he said, hey, Karen, did you want to ask me something? And I think I asked him something stupid, and I said, yeah, that's it. And then he said, but really, what did you want to ask me? And I said, well, is everything predetermined, or is there fate? Because I'm working very hard, and if it's predetermined, I'd like to just watch TV. Like, it was something like that. Like, if we don't have to work at it, why am I working so hard? And I remember he laughed for the longest time, laughed and laughed and laughed, and then came back on the phone and said, I tell you what, you pick one. And that was, and I thought, I went, oh, like, you got me. But it was a very positive dream. But he freaked out that I had spoken with God in my dream. He thought that was terrible.
Oh, God, no, because, you know, we're all, this is my personal opinion, we're all children of God, Goddess, higher source, whatever you want to call it. Now, what I find interesting is, you know, you're out in California now, so, you know, the beach obviously is a place where you feel comfortable. The seashell is a part of nature, okay? So it's becoming a part of your nature. It's letting you know that you can talk to God. Okay. Even about the silliest things, because, you know, believe me, I'll be like, God, you know, can you help my neck? You know, my neck is sore. And to somebody that might be really dumb, but to me, you know, it's important at the moment. And then that question you asked about predetermined or can we change it? He laughed, right? And then he said, you decide, which shows me. Okay. And which intuitively I'm getting, but it shows me that really we have free will. So God was saying, you have free will to create your future. So that was actually a beautiful dream that you were getting in touch with God or whatever you choose to call it, your higher self, higher source. That is actually a beautiful dream. And it just seems like that minister was afraid, one, probably losing you as a practitioner, however you say that. And also that, you know, how dare this woman have the ability to speak to God? Maybe the minister had trouble communicating with God and was jealous.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a comedian, the fact that he laughed and laughed, that's all we care about. I got the laugh. But it was a very beautiful dream. And I think I remember it more than anything else. So, yeah. Oh, great. All right, folks, hang on one second. I'll be right back with Pamela Cummings. Hey, everybody, it's me doing an ad for me. That's right. I keep forgetting to say this at the end, so I had to take out an ad on my own podcast. First of all, thanks for listening, and I love all your feedback. If you have a comment or a story or just want to say hi, email me at KarenRontowski@gmail.com. Also, go to KarenRontowski.com or ParanormalKaren.com, and you can get my tarot class. That's right. It took me 2 years to put it together. It's 8 classes, about an hour each. You will be reading tarot by the end. While you're there, sign up for my email list. Everyone should do this. I only send out an email about every 2 to 3 months, and it's filled with typos and misspellings, so you know I haven't been kidnapped, and that's the best way to keep up on comedy dates and whatever is new. While you're there, you can book a 30 or 60 minute tarot reading, or you can get a gift certificate for somebody else. I got a little bit of merch left. If you want a Paranormal Karen Shungite sticker for your phone to make it safer, you can email me about that, or I now sell Paranormal Karen reusable straws. You take them with you wherever you go. Maybe you're doing cocaine with someone that doesn't look like they're clean. Boom, you got your own straw. KarenRontowski.com. Okay, we're back. So Pamela, on that, everyone go watch the videotape, the first videotape you have that explains so much. You talk about, you said there's many categories of dreams, but you talk about like 7?
Okay.
What are those? Are environmental, like you were saying, and stuff like that. That was fascinating.
Okay. And within those, there are subcategories. All right. So I'm doing this off of the top of my head. All right. Well, first of all, we talked about environment dreams, which, as I mentioned earlier, can tell what's going on in your body, whether Mother Nature is calling or if you're thirsty or maybe even hungry. But environment dreams are really important because they let us know what's going on in our outer environment while we're sleeping. So if someone's trying to break into your home, you could have a dream, you know, that's symbolic of that, and it will wake you up. Okay, so those are really important. Recurring dreams, which we touched upon with your feelings, and recurring dreams are alerting us to an issue that needs to be resolved, right? Nightmares. I mean, everyone knows what a nightmare is, and sometimes those can be recurring. And nightmares usually are things that we're afraid are going to happen.
Okay.
So something that we're fearful. Sometimes it's something from our past, but it's usually like we're afraid this is going to happen, or a current theme in our life that's very scary. And I want to say, one of the things I say is nightmares are a gift because they show us, you know, issues we need to work on. So even though they're scary, you know that they're happening for a reason. Now, there's post-traumatic stress disorder dreams, PTS dreams, which kind of feel like nightmares. The difference with those are actually events that really happened and they're traumatic. I'm not talking about someone breaking up with you. Obviously, that's hurtful. But I'm talking about like being, you know, in war, being a victim of crime, some kind of sexual abuse, watching someone else get hurt, also natural disasters like a tsunami, volcano. All right. Those kind of dreams are something that I won't work with anyone unless they're in therapy, because those are some heavy duty stuff. Okay. Right. So if you're having a dream and it usually has like pretty much the same thing that's going on, it might be a different person, whatever, but the feelings are kind of the same. I would suggest getting outside help because you're not going to do that on your own. Okay.
Right. And do they know those because it might take them back to that scene? They would recognize them that way, or because they're the same feeling, that panic of that time, like it's a different stress?
Exactly. Okay. It's kind of the same feeling. It feels similar, although you're not really sure what's going on, because a lot of times it can be repressed, especially with childhood abuse. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that stuff is repressed because, you know, as a child, you can't handle it and it comes back and you kind of know what's going on, but you don't know exactly is a good way of putting it.
Because your subconscious isn't going to throw it at you like so much that it traumatizes you again, right? They mask it a little.
Well, exactly. And a teacher used to say to me, one of my teachers used to say, psyche is kind. It will never give you more than what you can handle. Mm. And I love that. That's with those kind of dreams. Okay. Then let's move on. Let's push that energy away. This is like one of my favorite kind of dreams is solution dreams, because they give you solutions for problems in your life. And a lot of scientists, medicines, Albert Einstein, Elijah Howe, who created the sewing needle, got information from their dreams, solutions.
I'm sorry. I love that story. Can you tell us the sewing needle story, the sewing machine story?
Okay. All right, and hopefully I'll get it okay. Elijah Howe, you know, was a contributing factor in doing a sewing machine needle, okay? And he had this dream, you know, I don't know how many people sew these days, but, you know, the old needle and thread that you would do by hand, the eye of the needle is at the top, right, where you would put in the thread. Well, he had a dream that the thread went through the bottom of the needle. And that's how he discovered the sewing machine. Because if you use a sewing machine, the thread is at the bottom, you know, it's in the bottom hole. So
I thought he had, and I'm not sure about this either, but we'll make it, this is a great story. I thought he had a dream that people were throwing spears at him and the hole was in the bottom of the needle. The spears had the hole in the bottom.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes. And Einstein, I don't know much about Einstein. Did he have dreams like that where he got his solutions through?
Yes. In fact, what I was told with Einstein, and there are different variations of this story, but what I was told is he would like, you know, think about a problem and then like go to sleep or a very meditative state where he was like, knew he was going to fall asleep and would put like these heavy metal balls in his hand. So this way, when he started dreaming and drifting off, you know, the ball would slip out of his hand and he'd wake up. And that's how he got lots of dreams.
Interesting. So he would hold the, so is that, was that so he would wake up almost like on the edge of the dream instead of like,
yes.
Oh. Yeah.
So he would wake up, you know, during or after the dream. Now that's what I was told. Historical, if there's any like historians out there, that might be off, but basically
we don't double check.
Yeah, but those. Albert Einstein definitely used it. And you can use it for your own life. I mean, I'm going to give a personal example. When I met Chris, who we've been together for, oh my God, like 8 years and 3 months. Okay. We lived together. And when I first met him, I met him online and he was taking forever to set up a date. You know, you get those guys who are like, hey, baby, let's meet. And you just, whoa, we just emailed. I got one email from you, but he was taking forever. And I was to the point where I was like, you know, he's married. Something's wrong. I can't handle this. And I said, God, what should I do? Okay. With Chris. And I went to sleep and I had this dream about him. He looked a little different and I really liked him. And I could tell he really liked me, but he was so shy. Like he kind of ran away. And that's how I knew that he was right for me, okay? Mm. Because I knew he liked me, he was just shy, and I'm so glad that I asked for a solution, because here we are, you know?
Yes.
Like, it's like, energetically, we're like husband and wife. So you can use it for your love life, which direction to go in business, should you buy a new car, move? I mean, you can use it for so many different things.
This may be a physical thing, not a mental thing, or not a psychological thing, but when we're first falling asleep, you kind of get shook up awake, like you kick, like, but you know what I mean? Where right as you're about to fall asleep, something happens. Does that have anything to do with dreams, or is that more of a physical thing?
Quite honestly, I don't know, but okay. I can tell you this, it really irritates me.
I know.
You know, and my guys are kind of saying, well, maybe it's you know, like maybe they don't want us to go to sleep yet. I really don't know.
Right. The solution dreaming, you know, sometimes sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and go, no, you're not doing that. Or like something I've been thinking about. I know sometimes in the morning I do wake up with that, like, no, this is how it's going to go, or this is what I'm going to do. Very clear. You know, have you ever heard the old hag dream?
No. Well, I'm not sure if I have.
I'm not sure. We're kind of crossing dream paranormal here.
That's okay. I'm curious now.
The old hag is a pretty common dream that people will have, and they will wake up paralyzed, and there's an old woman on top of them holding them down. And it's, of course, this horrific-looking old woman. And sometimes people have it happen all the time, or there was a woman that wasn't getting any sleep because almost every night this thing was waking her up, and they wake up paralyzed. They can see, they just can't move, they can't do anything about it, and it's called the old hag because it's always an old lady, like a witch of some sort. Is that like, and this may be even a bigger, broader question, but like, if we're half in the dream world and half in this world, as someone yourself that's psychic, do you feel like we're sort of between dimensions at that point?
That's what it sounds like, because I've never had an old hag dream, but I had one. It was like, I want to say it was like a dwarf, if I'm pronouncing D-W. A dwarf. Okay. And I actually had one of that, right when I was like really young, like I was like 21, and it felt like I was in between, but it was in my room. Okay. And it said, boo. And I was terrified. And then years later, I was doing this meditation with a group of people and it came to me, you know, trying to scare me. And by that time I was more in my power and I was like, go away. So to me, that feels like, a visitation dream.
Yeah.
That like feels this like old hag.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's, that was with the drawer, with the old hag, as they say, that feels like it. It definitely visitation dream.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that it's very interesting when people get where they can't get up or their body is paralyzed or I know that I might be in physiology more than dreams. Do people come to you a lot with that, where they get paralyzed or they can't get up, or that nightmare that just you try to scream and you can't?
Honestly, no.
Oh, really?
No, I don't get a lot of that. I don't get a lot of that.
That hasn't happened to me in a long time, but I remember being in the nightmare and not being able to wake up. Maybe
well, that's perilous, being paralyzed in a nightmare. But with the old crone, that really just sounds like a visit. Like she's, you know, going, finding people to visit to. Now, a nightmare, sometimes, yes, you can't move because, you know, it's like you're paralyzed with fear.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So okay? that's sort of.
So I want to say the old hag, excuse me, is different from a regular nightmare.
Okay, yeah, that falls more paranormal than dream.
Right.
How about lucid dreaming? I used to very much focus on flying in my dreams, and I think it was like a practice, like I'm going to fly in my dreams. And at one point, I got so good at it, I could get a picture of a movie star, put it by my bed, and literally fly and go have sex with that person. That's how good I had it down. I can't do that now. But how about lucid dreaming? Is there a big difference, or controlling them, or how does that fit into all this?
Okay. And lucid dreaming is not my expertise. Okay, I'm going to be completely honest, and this is just for me. I don't like lucid dreaming. I'm not comfortable with it. I've done it. It's happened to me a few times. I know a lot of people specialize in it. In fact, I had this one place that wanted to categorize my blog as, you know, that I was lucid dreaming, and I said, no, I do dream interpretation. It's different. That's like PTSD, and that it's not for me. This, and again, this is my personal opinion, and I'm not putting down anybody who does lucid dreaming because we're all different. But for me, I don't like to control my dreams because I feel like they're a message from my higher self, from God, angels, whoever, okay, that they're trying to give me a message. And by me controlling it, I'm not getting the message clearly. But I know that lucid dreaming helps people with their nightmares and other ailments in their lives. So I'm not putting it down.
Right. It must have a place. Yeah.
It definitely has a place. It's just like, well, there were some like tarot cards. Where did Aleister Crowley,
mm-hmm.
you've heard of him, uh-huh. his deck. Right now, I knew nothing about him, and I had this was many years ago. And the first deck I had was the Egyptian deck by Clive Barrett, which I think is worth a lot of money now. Nobody's getting my Egyptian tarot deck. That was my first deck. I don't use it much. And then someone gave me an Aleister Crowley deck, and I put them side by side. I swear to God, my Egyptian deck said, get that deck out of here. And I ended up giving that deck away. I did not like the energy. Now, other people love his stuff. So it's really what you're into.
Right, right. I would imagine too, yes, with nightmares that people may, you know, that's a good way to say, what do you want to say? What are you trying to say? Or what am I supposed to know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So lucid dreaming. So I don't think we got to yet prophetic dreaming.
And precognitive dreams?
Precognitive, that's right.
Yeah, precognitive dreams, those are, yeah, we didn't get to those. Those are basically dreams of the future. You're dreaming of something, and they can be warning you of something, or they can be very symbolic. They can actually, and for different people, it can be things that are going on, that are going to happen in your life, or it could be world disasters. And then there are some people, and thank you God for not giving me these kind of dreams, that they have dreams about, you know, crimes, murders, and stuff like that. And yeah. And so how do you know? Because people will say, well, how do I know it? It's kind of like a different feeling. Sometimes you just know. Sometimes, but a lot of times with all of them, you have to allow events to play out. And when certain events play out, especially if it's a warning dream, you can say, oh, no, I'm not going that way.
Right.
Yes.
And when and I want to get back to the people that have world dreams or crime dreams in a second. On a bonus episode, my friend Matthew from a listener named Matthew from I Think Everyone's My Friend. He was telling how he had a dream of being in a cemetery with his friend, and these two dogs came, and he said, you know, they had to run away from these dogs. And I think he said it was quite a few years later that he actually found himself in that situation, and he heard the dogs. I don't know if he said before, but it was almost like, and he realized he was in that dream. So these have no time constraints. They're not always close. That's a wide open field, isn't it?
Exactly. Because you have to remember that just like, you know, when you cross over, right, and you're in no longer in physical form, there's no time. So in our dreams, there really is no time. It could happen the next day, the deja vu, or it could happen much later. In fact, I just interpreted a dream for a client, and the dream is actually like it's what I call a spiritual chapter dream, where, you know, she's going into a new phase of her spiritual life, and it's a different kind of life, and it's actually taken over a year, and it's continuing to happen in her life, and she had that dream over a year ago, probably like a year and a half. So yeah, sometimes it can take, and sometimes you just have to grow up. Like people will see like their soulmate in their dream,
right,
and wake up and like, and how, I'm sure you've gotten this. Oh, where is he? When is he going to come? Right.
Yes.
And guys do it too. It's not just women, but women do it more. When is he going to come? Well, you know what? That could happen within a week. I doubt it. A month.
Uh-huh.
Okay, or it could be a couple decades. I hate to say that, but do you know what I mean?
I know, so, people hate to hear that.
Oh, I know. But just know that I didn't meet my soulmate until I was 47. Okay, so yeah, I mean, that was a, you know, it took, I wasn't alone, you know, I had other relationships, but really the one who was right for me, that was a healthy relationship, it took that long for me to develop. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to be, you know, as old as I was.
Right.
You know, we all have different life paths.
People never like to hear, well, this is a year you're going to work on yourself. Oh, I hate that. Everyone's like, I hate that year.
I heard that after working on myself for 5 years, and then it continued on, much longer. So, you know, but the thing is, I had a psychic tell me one time, and then I'm sorry, we'll get off this, but I had a psychic say to me one time that if I met my soulmate, I'd blow it.
Wow.
Okay. And that was, yeah. And you know what? But the truth was, he would have blown it too, because we weren't at that stage yet, at that level of maturity where we would have had accepted each other for who they were. We would have tried to change. You know, there was a lot of growing up we had to do.
Right.
So think of that. If you meet your soulmate today and you're not destined to, you're going to blow it.
That's a great, I would go with a more gentle, this is going to have to unfold like it's supposed to, sort of. Yeah. But, you know, I always think that too. Yeah, we need to be in the right space. They need to be in the right space. Maybe some karma has to happen or get fixed or whatever. And let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about more categories of dreams. Psychic medium and buddy of mine, Terry Huberman, is with me today. Terry, you've given me so many great readings and healings, and now you've got everything together in one package. Tell me about that.
I sure do. So this package has energy healings, readings, and coaching.
Coaching, that's the best. And people, they buy the package. You give them coaching once a week?
Yeah, so we meet online once a week, and in between, there's support as well.
And who would this be for?
This is really for folks who are in indecision, needing to get into into their intuition because they're blocked or stuck. They need to move forward. And so we explore what the root causes of the problems are.
And helps them get out of their own way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Terrific. And what can they expect from this?
Sure. So moving from anxiousness to confidence, accessing their freedom, joy, and security, and really being in alignment with themselves so they have that clear direction, so they know, aha, this is what I need to do next to reach my goals.
So now there's something that's free so people can talk to you and see if this is for them.
Yeah, absolutely. On my website, terryhuberman.com, there is a page where you can click, and it's the intuitive coaching package. And there is a button there that says schedule a free call. So you go ahead, schedule it. We'll get on a call and you can learn more about this program and we'll see if this is a good fit for you or not.
See if there's chemistry.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's an odd date.
TerryHuberman.com, TerryHuberman. I highly recommend it, folks.
Okay, so we did solution dreams, precog dreams, environment dreams, and on environment dreams or precog, which would it be when I tend to wake up a couple minutes before we have an earthquake here in California? That'd be a precog?
I would say that's kind of precog, but it's also an environment dream because it's letting you know what's going on in the environment.
Got it.
You can have two categories in one dream.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of things going on. One dream we didn't discuss, okay, is dreams of the deceased.
I was just going to bring that up. Dead people, yes.
Yeah, dead people. Departed people. And those, you know, people and just very quickly, there's three types of deceased dreams. There's when you have an issue with somebody who passed away. So you might have a dream of something that happened in the past that could feel like a nightmare. Or you're seeing them today and you're fighting or you're angry. And that's unresolved issues. Then there's actually the dream where you feel like it's a visit. Mm-hmm. And often those are like, it would be like, you know, us just hanging out, having a cup of coffee, just talking, or maybe you hug each other or there's a feeling of love, or you might see like an activity you always did, if it's fishing, going shopping or something like that. And they're usually very upbeat, happy, filled with love. All right. And those are visitation dream. And then there's a combination of both.
And some of those visitations might just be someone coming back and going, hey, I'm fine. And this is weird, right. But in most of those visitations, I don't know why, but everyone, especially as a parent, the person comes back, they look like they're 30. Have you ever heard that?
Well, yeah, because when you go out and you know you're going somewhere special, are you going to dress up in sweats and a t-shirt or are you going to put on some nice clothes? Okay. Yes. They like to come back looking their best if possible, okay, or in a way that you're going to know them. But, yeah, and it's also a way of them letting you know that they're at their best. I'm feeling my best. I'm looking my best.
Right.
Okay.
And as opposed to Hollywood, which wants us all to look 18, 30 is the general soul good-looking age.
Right. Well, because we're a little bit more mature. And I also want to say when it comes to visitations from your deceased loved ones, a lot of times they occur right when they pass for them to kind of comfort you. But they can occur years later, especially if you're filled with grief. Or maybe they're just coming years later to stop in. Hey, I know you're going to have a baby, but or, you know, a job promotion or, hey, you know, I was just passing by thinking of you. For me, I've actually had, I guess you could say a precognitive dream, you know, before. I've had it with my mom and my cat Midnight before she passed where they, you know, I actually have a dream beforehand. One was Midnight was symbolic because they knew I was so devastated when she passed. And my mom was just a feeling of love. No words were spoken. And then she passed, you know, a week or two later. So.
You know, this is such a weird thing. I just have to say it. I don't think I'm going to die anytime soon. In fact, I feel like I'm going to be an old lady. But I always have this feeling that I'm supposed to die before my parents. Oh, Alexa is talking. Alexa will not shut up. Because I am supposed to be the one to tell them it's okay, you can pass. Like, I don't know what that is. And I guess there's not a question in there, but I always thought I could see my mother sort of kind of half in dementia telling my sister, yeah, Karen was here. And my sister going, no, Karen passed. No, Karen was here. And she specifically told me not to worry, blah, 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 something like that. So that would be a visitation dream. I haven't died yet, but if it happened like that, that would be a visitation dream, me visiting them.
In their dreams, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And, you know, and can I predict that's going to happen to you? You would know that better than me.
Right, right. Yes. Do you ever, when you're doing dream analysis for someone, do you tell them what you think it is? Like, if I came to you and I was telling you about a dream and it obviously this is a dream that I'm chasing the wrong man, and I'm like, I think this dream means I shouldn't eat fruit. And do you ever kind of go, no, focus in, and you kind of have to put somebody that way? Or do, when people come to you, do they usually have a good idea?
It depends upon the client. Some have no idea, and which sometimes I like to give, especially if we're on the phone, okay, I like to give at least two interpretations, three, because people really, you kind of get like ding, ding, you're like, your inner ding goes off. It's like, yeah, that's right. Now going to, like, there are other people who are in denial. When you said that dream, it reminded me of this client I had who had this dream. She was in the kitchen with her mom and her boyfriend, and her ring finger, right, was burnt. Like, it had a burnt mark on it. And I said, you know, I hate to tell you this, but the kitchen is like, you know, the home of the family. You're with your mom. And I feel like this guy is actually going to burn you in love. Okay. And she's like, no way. He is my soulmate. And she got really upset. And I said, okay, take what I say with a grain of salt. That's okay. And about a year later, 6 months to a year later, she called, you know, got in touch with me, you know, emailed me and said, you were right. So I think at times, and you know, when you give a tarot reading, you have to allow people to have the dignity of their denial until they're ready to see it. I know that, for instance, I used to do massage therapy and energy work, and I could pick up if somebody was abused, you know, mm-hmm. in some manner. But I would never say, I'm picking up you were sexually abused, okay, unless I was really pushed to say something. But no. They, you know, there's certain things that you have to allow your clients to have the dignity of their denial. You know, Melody Beatty has this affirmation that calls denial, you know, like having a blanket around them. And who are we to rip off their denial?
What a beautiful way to say it. The dignity of their denial. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you, and I say this sometimes in tarot too. Sometimes clients will come to you with a problem and they'll say, is it solution A or solution B? And I'm like, well, actually it's solution C. And they will get all upset. And all I will say is, okay, well, I'm going to leave that there. Or, you know, well, that's what I got. Like, because they can't see out of this problem except two lanes instead of there's probably three or four.
Exactly.
I bet those are always, and I find this in tarot too. This is always, those are the clients that come back later and they're kind of like, yeah, I didn't marry him and I'm glad, you know, and you said it, but they had to go through whatever they had to go through to get there. Cause no one wants to hear that.
Of course not. And that's why, you know, I say, take it with a grain of salt, and you're like, okay, well, let's move on. Because people have to find out. Now, with dreams can often have, like, well, you know, like with a tarot card, a dream doesn't necessarily, this is the meaning, okay? there can be a couple of meanings. And like with precognitive dreams, you could get one meaning at the time, and then a few weeks later get another meaning, and then a year later go deeper into that dream, like peeling the onion, and get another meaning from it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why you just can't find your answer and a dream dictionary, folks, you know?
Right, right. Wow. Okay, so we might have a few categories left. I don't know. I feel like we took in so much information.
I know. I'm trying to think. Deceased, recurring. So health and body dreams.
Oh,
okay. Wow. Health and body dreams. Now, you could, with the, and I kind of clump them together, but they're like really kind of separate, because a health dream can be like a precognitive dream giving you a heads up, like, hey, you need to exercise or stop smoking, or do this so you will avoid an illness. But if you have an illness, you might get a solution, whether it's like, don't go to this doctor. Mm-hmm. All right. Or you need to call a certain doctor or do this, change your diet or whatever. Why, body dream is like, there's my guides in front of me, they're saying like a hole in a head, and I knew what they meant. I one time had a dream. I was in the shower and I was washing my hair and I touched the back of my head and I had a hole in my head. Now, literally, I didn't wake up, and that wasn't a health dream. You know, I didn't have a tumor or anything. That was just thinking you need to think differently about a certain situation. People will have dreams, let's say, instance, they'll have dreams that their eyes are purple. Well, that might mean you need to see with spiritual sight.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong with their eyes, mm-hmm. unless, of course, they're having vision problems. So, or for instance, like you might have a dream that, you know, you hurt your foot. All right. So that might mean, yeah, you better watch, you know, you better take care of your feet. You're having feet issues, but it also could mean watch where you're going, watch where you're stepping. You might get hurt.
Right, right. There's some real common dreams with that too. One of them is teeth being pulled out or teeth falling out. That seems to be a very common dream.
Right, and a lot of times a fear of losing something valuable. But again, it could be a health dream that, hey, you need to go to the dentist. You need to take better care of your teeth. It also could mean like, you know, you're grinding on something too hard and you start, you know, you're like chewing on something too hard and you're like thinking about it over and over again and you need to stop. It could also mean that you need to become a dentist.
Oh, okay. I mean,
no, but what I'm saying is,
right.
Again, yes, it's a common theme, but you got to look at it. Okay. Like, what could it mean? Just like with the being in a driver's seat.
Right.
You know, like a snake's a beautiful example. A snake could actually mean, you know, how medicine uses a snake
mm-hmm.
and there's emblems. So it could be mean going, you know, going to medicine. All right. It also could mean, because snakes shed their skin, transformation.
Mm.
Okay. It also could mean somebody is actually a, you know, I'm hearing Paula Abdul, he's a cold-hearted snake, you know.
Yes,
it could be that. Okay. But it could also be your snake Fluffy. Okay. So
it's all different things. Yeah.
Yeah. And it could also mean a man's, you know what. So, I mean, there's more meanings to that, but that's just what's coming to mind. So yeah, take with the teeth, take it for, with a grain of salt too. What's a good thing is like, how'd you feel in the dream? What's going on in your life? Do you have any problems that you need to overcome? Is something coming up in the future? Is it something from your past? Could it be another person? You know, could this be, because we do dream about, especially our loved ones, you know, are they having issues? And we could be getting solutions from them too.
I had a friend that was a therapist, and she said also, just think of everything in the dream and say like, I am the fence because I protect. I am the, like, just go through, say, I am everything in your dream. I think that's Jungian interpretation.
Yes.
I've always found that weirdly helpful. Or as a comedian, I think that sometimes double entendre or looking at a, comedians look at a topic from a circle. So if there's a photographer in your dream, I might think, oh, they're trying to capture something, or there's a something's out of focus. Like, it tends to lead to see it in a bigger circle. And if people just ask themselves that, they might get that. So, but that's also the journal where you're writing it out, right?
Right, right. And that's definitely another part, and I agree with that, to look at. For instance, if you see your child, that could actually be your inner child. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yes, and so that is definitely another area. I'm not a youngin expert, just like I'm not lucid dreaming or PTSD. You know, I mean, dream interpretation is much
bigger
than that. But I definitely agree with that. And sometimes I will use that as another interpretation.
Right.
You know, how I say a couple, and I will say, or, you know, there's a theory that you are everybody and everything in the dream, and then I'll put that in. So, yes, I definitely agree with that.
Well, obviously, too, from your background and what you do, I would imagine that at this point in time, you're grabbing from probably like five different things. I'm a little intuitive. You're getting a little of my guides. You're getting a little not like, I just think that's probably why you're so great at this, is because it's a little bit of everything. You sort of, your brain knows which way to tune in when you hear it.
Right, right. It's like, you know, it's like I'm really good at putting all the pieces together, puzzle pieces of a dream, because I use different aspects. Even when I would do readings, it was like different aspects of myself coming together. And I've been doing it for a long time. Plus, as you know, with each client, you know, the one tarot card or the three tarot cards means something different for each person.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So, right. You know, it's going with, is this person, and I think you do it intuitively. Does this person hear better? Do they see better? You know, do they feel better? Even on the phone, you can kind of get their energy. So, yeah, I guess you could say I do Pamela dream interpretation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. This is a new thing. I know with the sort of the veil getting thinner, or everything that's going on today, I sort of feel like everything keeps shifting. And this is just a weird tarot thing. Sometimes a client will call me and I'll put a layout down and I'll start talking, and I'll start talking really fast. And what I've noticed is my eyes are fluttering. Like, that never happened before. And I feel like either I'm getting the information fast and that's just like my body trying to keep up. But I think lately it seems like there's a lot of other, the veil seems thinner, or like things are getting clearer. It's just a really neat thing. So hopefully people will be getting some dreams clearer.
Yeah. And when you said that, what I intuitively picked up is it feels like you're starting, the way you're doing readings and starting to be different, and you're channeling higher energies too, and different energies. Okay.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if you know, because there was a time where I did really use the cards. And then one day I noticed, hey, I didn't even pick a card. I just gave this person a reading. And sometimes when I'm actually doing dream interpretation, this is pretty neat, I'll see a tarot card in my mind.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. So don't be surprised if your readings are starting to change and your dreams might. Yeah. And I've actually heard, I was reading an article about like dreams, how like with all this craziness that's going on with the virus and stuff, people dreams are becoming clearer because they're not, you know, most people are like, they get up, they do this, and they're going practically 18 hours a day and then they sleep. Okay. Seriously. And as lifestyles change, and as you said, the veil is getting thinner. So naturally our lifestyles are going to change. We're seeing, feeling more and remembering our dreams more.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that about tarot, because my readings are, I say there's two ways you read: on the cards and off the cards. And if you learn on the cards, off the cards is going to happen. And lately there's been a lot more off the cards Yeah, in places and dates and stuff like that, that I didn't used to do that much. You know, it's funny because sometimes, too, when we go ghost hunting or investigating, I will see things through the cards, too. It's so funny, but it makes sense because they are a reflection of the archetypes in our subconscious, so why wouldn't we see them?
One
last question about dreams, and maybe again, this is just, it has to be in the dream, but what about when animals talk to you in a dream? I always thought that seems like a good positive, almost like a spiritual, a higher spiritual thing that the animals would speak, but maybe it's not if they're swearing at you or something.
it really depends, but if it's done in a positive, loving way, yeah, I would say go for it. You know, it's definitely very spiritual, high level. They're right. Communicating with you. And people might say, well, animals can't talk. And maybe not verbally in our dreams because we're in a different dimension. Higher realm.
Yeah.
That they can speak, you know. I mean, I communicate. My cat one time was having problems and I was like, Merlin, what's going on? You know, do I need to take you to a vet? You're not moving. I'm really upset. And in the dream I had that night, he was like sleeping on my bed and he communicated in my dream, like something was going on. Like I saw his spine and I saw the lower spine was all red. And I woke up and I went over to him and I started petting him. I'm like, Merlin, I said, does your hippie hip? Because he knows what hippie hip means. Does your hippie hurt bother you? And he just, I could feel his energy get happy and he licked me. And I knew then, don't take him to the vet because you know, it's just his hip is out of alignment. And if you put him in the cat carrier, you're really going to hurt him. Mm. So yeah, animals definitely do communicate in our dream.
Awesome. So, okay. So, and folks, I'm going to have all the links to Pamela's site in the show notes, but tell everybody they can tell, like, if they have a dream, how do they contact you if they want you to help them with that or any other spiritual, you do spiritual coaching. Give us everything that we can get from you.
Okay. I have two websites. One is totally focused on dreams. It's Learn Dream Interpretation. And if that's too much for you, Pamela Cummins, Cummins, no G, Cummins. I have, that's another website. And I'm on Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and not so much on Twitter anymore. So they can reach me there. I also have books, which are on all, not just Amazon, all of them, because I know people go to Google Play and iBooks and, you know, again, just my name, Pamela Cummins. Yeah, I'm like all over the place, you know.
Yes, and take a look. You, like I said, you do a bunch of different things. You do it said spiritual coaching and.
But yes, I do spiritual growth coaching because and even with your dreams, you can understand your dreams, but if you don't apply it to your life, so I do spiritual growth coaching, which is learning to understand your intuition, connecting with a higher source, boundaries, communication and relationships. Because I did specialize in love and relationships for a while, but it was time for me to move on for that. You know, we go through different chapters in our lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's real. That's why I took the dream interpretation off the back burner and really put it on the front burner, because I really love doing that.
And it's so fascinating. And I think it has a real place in this awakening that's taking place.
Yes. We've been fascinated since like the dawn of time by our dreams. But I think people are really starting to expand. And that's why there's so many craziness in this world. But, you know, a wise woman once told me, out of horror can come beauty. So we're going through this shift to come back to where we really need to be.
Yep. Yeah, and it's not going to be fast. It's not going to be fast.
No, not like a microwave cooking your dinner.
I know. You know, this is so terrible, but I was thinking how, you know, refugees get picked up and misplaced in camps with tents and all these terrible things. At least all we had to do was stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be way worse. So we got it pretty good in this country. And hopefully when this is out, we're all out milling around. If not, people are going to hate that comment. But
well, it's going to, you know what? It's going to be as long as it needs to be.
Right.
You know?
Right. And well, thank you very much, Pamela. This was fantastic.
Oh, thank you, Karen. This was a lot of fun. I'm so happy you asked me to be a guest on your podcast. So thank you.
And when I'm in North Carolina, you know you'll see me. We'll meet up there.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds great.
Great, everybody. So look for Pamela's sites are in the show notes. Thanks to Mike Flynn at Uno Rising Media. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you out on the road or next week.